Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Chris and Amy show on KMOX, and there has been a lot of discussion about tariffs, which were supposed to begin today for Mexico and Canada. Those have been put off, but those being levied against China are actually happening in the moment. And we also know that Google searches for the word tariff have gone up like 5,000% over the last couple of weeks. So to school us a little bit today is John Horn, professor of practice in economics at Wash U's Olin Business School. And John is with us now on KMOX. We appreciate your time. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. So what is a tariff?
What is a tariff? A tariff is just a fancy word for a tax. It's a tax which is put onto goods which are imported into a country. So someone in a foreign country produces something, they ship it, say, here to the United States. When that good comes into the United States or that service is provided in the United States, a tax is imposed on it. That's what a tariff is.
Yeah, and John, it's funny because my guess is there are a lot of people that hear that President Trump is placing tariffs, a 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada, and their first reaction is Mexico is paying that tariff. Canada is paying that tariff. When really it's the American business owners and individuals paying the tariff on that good.
Yeah, so there are two ways we like to think of taxes in general and tariffs, again, are a particular useful way of thinking about this, is who actually writes the check or who actually transfers the money to the government. And the tariff is paid logistically by the company importing. So if I buy beer from Mexico to then sell in the United States, I pay the tariff. I write the check for whatever the amount that is, and I send it to the U.S. government. I can then say to retailers, wholesalers, customers, hey, I had to pay this tariff. You have to pay me more for the beer, in which case the consumer, the customer in the United States effectively is paying the tax. In some cases, this is not the majority, but in some cases, I can say to the Mexican beer company, I'm not going to import your beer unless you give me a lower price so that when I pay the tax, it's the same as I'm paying you right now. And only in those small cases does the foreign company actually, quote, pay the tax because they're getting a lower price for their beer. In most cases, I either just take it on the chin and say, I had to pay the government, I'm stuck with paying the government, or I pass it on to consumers or retailers or wholesalers in the United States. Mostly it's in the United States that it gets paid.
So how often does that happen? You said it's rare where a company can get the Mexican, a company or government to lower their price for us. How often does that really happen?
Well, I don't know if there's any good estimates on, you know, like what percentage of time. What it comes down to is one of the options for the Mexican beer company. If they say the only place I can sell this beer is into the United States, then they will say, yes, I'll accept a lower price because I have to produce the beer and the only place I can sell it is in the United States. Then we call that they're very inelastic. They have to accept the price. And so they'll take the lower price. In most of the products and services, you know, people buying it here in the United States say, I have to buy that beer or I have to buy that steel. I have to buy that aluminum. I have to buy that wood or that oil or whatever. They'll pay a higher price because they have to buy it. And so what it comes down to is who is more flexible on finding alternatives. And again, there's not really a good estimated saying it's, you know, 30%, 70%, et cetera. It really comes down to for the products, you know, I would say to the listeners, for the products you're buying, if it's something you're going to buy anyway, you're going to pay a higher price. If it's something that you can go find a U.S. manufacturer or just say, I don't need to buy it, you're probably not going to pay as much of an increase in price.
When weighing any domestic policy, foreign policy, you have to look at trade-offs. And while on the surface it sounds, oh, well, this is great. This is encouraging companies to buy and sell and use American. But what are some of the critical trade-offs here that we're looking at with higher tariffs?
Well, the other thing that the tariffs do in general, taxes, in general do this, is they restrict the amount of the good or service that's actually traded. So not only will the prices change, but we'll actually sell less beer, we'll sell less steel, aluminum, et cetera. And to the extent that those are goods and services that are inputs to other goods and services produced in the United States, we're just going to be producing and making less stuff already. And so there is some uncertainty about whether that's going to increase unemployment because companies won't be producing as much. That depends also on what happens with the immigration push that's being done. Is that going to shift people where they have jobs and replace people who might be deported? The other thing we have to think about is, to your point, is the longer term effect. You know, so say not going to buy beer from Mexico anymore, as this example, if we keep using that, how long would it take American producers to increase their brewing capacity to produce beer to replace that? And that may not be in the next week or two. That could take longer term. And then it gets down to companies deciding, look, is this going to be the new normal where we're always going to have to be producing this beer? Or 3 years or 4 years from now, are we going to go back to buying Mexican beer? And I got this new plant, which I can't use. So it's not, there is no immediate. It just happens right away, and the long-term dynamics could have a big impact, too.
WashU economics professor John Horn is with us on KMOX. There is, we've heard from President Trump that there's going to be a short-term, it's going to be tough for people short-term that we're going to have to wear it, but long-term, the benefits are going to be there for us. There's no timeline on that. We don't know, okay, is it 6 months from now, a year from now? What would you estimate? And first of all, is that true that there will be a long-term benefit? And secondly, when would that happen? When would we see it?
Well, I hate to keep saying we don't know, but in terms of the long-term benefit, it depends on the other goals that these tariffs are trying to achieve, which, as the Trump administration is stating, it's not just about producing more in the United States. It's also about stemming the flow of fentanyl and stemming immigration. Those could be more immediate impacts. But in terms of the direct effect on inflation, and I think that's what most people are interpreting those statements, is that the pain would be short-term inflation. But in the long term, we'll be producing more in the United States, and so therefore prices will come back down. One thing we know about prices is rarely do they come back down. When across the board, yes, inflation raises prices, but those prices tend not to decrease unless there's a major recession, which to me is even more pain. So I'm not exactly sure what is meant by in the long term it's going to be better for the United States, unless we're thinking not the next 6 to 12 months, but, you know, potentially years down the road.
What is the potential impact of this more belligerent approach to some of our closest allies or trade partners or geopolitical adversaries like China? What is the potential impact of these few days on our longer term relationship?
Yeah, and it's a great question, because it seems to me that there are sort of two primary ways in which this could play out. One is the rest of the world looks at this as, this is the second Trump administration, there's three of this, and then things will go back to normal, normalizing what it was before the last 8 years. And so let's just, we'll make any agreement we need to, we'll make sure the tariffs don't get imposed, and then we'll go back to the way things were before. The other alternative is they look at this and think this is the new normal for the United States, that it's not just the Trump administration, it's whatever administrations come afterwards. And the risk there is the rest of the world says, why do we need to put up with this? Let's just shift and find other countries to do trade with and to work with. And that's where I think a lot of, you know, people who are looking at these issues saying this sort of sets up well for China, because they are the only large economy other than probably the European Union collectively that would be positioned to be an alternative to the United States. And so the risk long term is that the rest of the world says, we can't keep playing these games back and forth and being threatened by tariffs. We're just going to find alternative ways of trading with the rest of the world, and we're not going to trade with the U.S. anymore. Or to the same extent.
John, you mentioned the word recession a bit ago. How likely is our blanket tariffs like this to cause recession for us? I know there's already concern within Canada. It might cause one for them. But what about for us?
Yep. Well, it depends on how long the tariffs are put in place. It depends on how broadly they're imposed. And it depends on whether other countries retaliate. Because, you know, we talked about if there's a tariff put in the United States, it's going to cause inflation on those products and slow down production in the United States in those industries. But if other countries like, you know, Canada and Mexico had threatened to impose either the same tariffs or higher, and China today came out and said that they're going to impose tariffs on the United States, that will hurt our exports, which slows down our economy also. And if this happens, you know, if this, you know, dig in the heels and we're going to keep these tariffs in place until the rest of the world sort of agrees to our terms of trade, then it could lead to a recession on both sides, both the tariffs we put in place and the tariffs retaliatory that are put in place on us.
What risk do increased tariffs play on potentially increasing like special interests and cronyism in D.C., because we know the automotive industry was already pursuing tariff carve-outs last week. And if you have the energy sector or other unions pushing back against the president, there could be, you know, under the table tit for tat, like just lobbying and so forth. Do tariffs increase that in Washington?
I don't know if I would say increase necessarily, but I would say it's for the tariffs themselves, there will absolutely be those kinds of conversations. I mean, we know this from the first Trump administration. There were a lot of carve outs with the tariffs that were used previously when they were imposed on China and others. And, you know, as you said, there already is maneuvering to try to get special carve outs for special industries. And the more that that happens, the less it feels, for one thing, like foreign countries feel like they need to say, okay, we will, you know, we agree to whatever you want. We have to get these tariffs to be taken away, because if they have industries that are still allowed to export without paying the tariffs, then they don't feel the pain and there's no harm. So I think there is the risk. Unless this time there are no exemptions made, once you start making lots of exemptions, then I think there is uncertainty about what is traded with the government to get those exemptions put in place.
Lastly, John, I think the thing most people listening are going to want to know is, how is this going to affect me and for how long?
Yeah, you know, that's the... That's a $64,000 question. It really depends on, you know, if we look back in the first Trump administration, there were a lot of threats of tariffs, and then other countries said, no, we'll change. And so the tariffs were taken away almost immediately. We've already seen this now. You know, Canada and Mexico said, okay, we'll send more troops to the borders, and the tariffs were paused for 30 days. You know, the tariffs on China last time did stay in effect for quite a while, but even then there was a huge agreement which was made in early 2020 with China, and they said, look, we'll buy more stuff from you, we'll send less stuff to the United States, stop with the tariffs, and then COVID really hit, and so it never really was implemented. I think a lot of concern is that was just, you know, lip service to get the tariffs to be taken away. I don't know if President Trump this time feels like, nope, these are going to be put in place so I get exactly what I want 100%, in which case the pain could be felt for quite a while, or if these are negotiation ploys and tactics that, you know, 3 days from now will be taken away because victory is claimed. And so it's hard to say. It really depends ultimately on how assertive and how dedicated.
Well,
to imposing these.
Yeah, John, we really do appreciate your expertise. Thank you for visiting with us today and helping school us, because I think a lot of people are very confused as to what's about to happen here.
Well, I hope it helps.
That is John Horn, professor of practice in economics at WashU's Olin Business School. It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.